Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Dakota Midday Tech Radio. I'm Kent Osborne, Director of Education and Online Services for SDPB. SDPB will update you with the latest news, then following the news, we'll discuss the latest in tech. Today, we're going to hear from Argus Leader Media Manager Corey Meyer and hear his experiences related to the ongoing winter storm event and much more. If you have questions or comments about the cloud, hardware, software, or accessories, the way to connect with us is through our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio. Message us on Twitter at SDPB, and our phone number is 1-800-524-3604. Of course, the email address is midday@sdpb.org. Dakota Midday Tech Radio is on the air after this news. Welcome to Dakota Midday Tech Radio for Friday, April 12th. We're coming to you live today from SDN Communications in Sioux Falls. Our 800 number is 1-800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. You can also drop us an email. Send that to midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org. Today's panelists are Mac guru Joel Brovelite, Nine Clouds bro founder John T. Meyer. Hello, John. Let me turn your mic up here.
Happy to be here. Survived the storm, so.
It's amazing. Having been a consumer of the media down in Vermilion for the last few days, and we weren't hit nearly like you were, driving just to SDN today was incredible.
Yeah, it really does. You have to stop and kind of just look in awe a little bit. And I think we're going to talk about it here in a little bit with our guests, but I think for the first time in a while, my Facebook feed was outnumbered by snowy, icy trees. They outnumbered the babies and the cats like I'm used to, you know, seeing on Facebook.
Photos.
So yeah. It was kind of a new change, I guess.
And that's one of the reasons we're having Corey on today. Corey Myers from the Argus Leader Media will be on shortly. And discuss some of the landscape on the internet, as you mentioned, and Argus 911 and the popularity of that and the amount of retweets and everything. But we'll get to that in just a second. But thank you for joining us, John, and I assume that this is all research for your company, Nine Clouds, as well. And you're going to try to figure out how to.
Oh, we haven't made an infographic of snowy trees yet. It's kind of sad, but nonetheless, glad to be here. And I think everyone's kind of in. Digging out mode now, so hopefully we'll get some higher temps this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Also joining us today, right across the hall, Amos Asa.
Literally
right across the hall.
There I am.
Your desk is moved, and you're SDN's one of SDN's sales engineers.
That's right.
I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming that means
it's really important.
Right, it's super duper important. I think is the technical term. Managed services. We're rolling out some new services from SDN. If you need your hardware taken care of, like your firewalls or your switches or your access points or a virtual desktop or maybe Exchange, we can take care of all that for you. And that's my job, is to go in and do the technical information when it comes to talking to your IT folk.
Oh, well, excellent. And good luck with that. And we certainly appreciate having a place that's got the lights on and the heat on today. In Sioux Falls, I imagine there's a few people that are...
Yes, there's actually one of the guys I work with. He has been out of power at his home since Tuesday morning. And they're hoping to have it on by 11 o'clock tonight. Which, you know, one of those things that you don't really understand the conveniences that electricity brings, you know, that you just take it for granted. But people will say, you know, well, go home and read a book or you know, do something with the kids. But even when you don't have, you can't see anything because it's dark and you don't get home until, you know, late, it's an interesting problem to have. And you just can't do anything anymore.
It was spooky coming up the interstate and seeing those power poles without lines on them.
Yeah.
That was...
just a straight-up pole, yeah.
Yep. And the poles that snapped, those are crazy too. Just the amount of pressure that it would take to break that wooden pole in half is hard to imagine.
Well, when we were in Vermilion the other day, and the storm was impending, and we didn't know we were going to get a quarter inch, maybe a half inch of ice, and the kids are saying, "Well, what do we do?" And I said, "Charge your cell. Make sure your cell phones are charged," and as if that would maybe do anything. And I don't know if the cell towers would get knocked out or whatever, but I'm assuming there's enough backups. But I just said, make sure all your devices are charged, and we'll move on from there and do things around the house that we need to do as well. But from a technology standpoint, if the internet goes out, you're a little bit dead in the water there too. But certainly thought about things over the last few days that haven't really had to think about.
Yeah, before. We were out just about 60-70 minutes at Nine Clouds headquarters here, so we all kind of went to the phones right away and thought about playing a game of Heads Up 7-Up or something like that. But thankfully, they did quite well. I would give props to Excel and to all the city and county crews who really got a lot of stuff coming back quite fast.
Yeah, excellent. And certainly a shout-out to all the county and city employees and municipal folks that had to brave through it and get to work and are working on trying to get the power back going on and the tree limbs cleared and the public as safe as possible. So again, the number for the show today, 1-800-524-3604. Midday at sdpb.org is the email address. A little bit of an odd show today. We're going to have a guest on this morning and this afternoon. Corey Myers from the Argus Leader will join us and talk a little bit about his experiences in the last few days. Then the last part of the show, we're going to touch on the changing, I don't want to call it the media landscape because that's so weird. How would you say it, John? The way people consume entertainment and media now?
Yeah, I think that's fair. We want to talk about Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go, what Netflix has done with House of Cards, just the way that programming. Do people have call in? Do you still subscribe to cable, or do you do it all online now? Apple TV, whatever it might be. It's just a really constantly evolving landscape.
Sure.
It's a really interesting topic.
Sure. Tip of the hat as well to Jeff Litterick joining us from Pier, safely in his bunker in Pier. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, all.
Welcome to the show. And also, again, joining us this first segment, Corey Myers from the Argus Leader. Corey, you are the digital manager, digital services manager at the Argus Leader?
Yeah, digital media manager. Thanks for having me on.
Digital media manager. Hey, finally great to talk to you. We've communicated copious times via email, and nice
copious.
Talking to you.
Nice.
Yes, yeah. So how's it been the last few days? A little nutty?
Well, a little nutty, certainly. A little nuttier than normal, I guess. In the news business, it obviously changes. Day to day is even slow now. It's hour to hour, 15-minute increments, et cetera. But no, the past couple of days here in Sioux Falls have definitely been 24-hour operations here over at the Argus.
Yeah, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show today was to talk a little bit about a service that you and the Argus Leader provide, and that's a Twitter account, Argus 911.
Right.
Can you explain that a little bit and to folks that maybe don't know what that is and why that is?
Sure. Argus 911 started, we started it back in September of 2010, actually. And, it was just out of a need or a want or recognizing that the community of Sioux Falls wanted more and quicker public safety coverage, accidents, fires. Just what's going on in and around Sioux Falls that might be important for your daily travel, for the safety of your neighborhood, schools, et cetera. So we used Twitter. We started off with just a Twitter account back then because it's a great medium for immediate information. And it started just with one guy. Dalton Walker was our Argus 911 reporter, and he would respond to things on the scanner, send out tweets. A month later, we added a website. So when news was happening, it would go out on Twitter first. And then as those tweets became updates or shorter stories or even full-blown stories, those were put up on the Argus911.com website. Again, that was 2.5 years ago now. And it's really blossomed into, it's the spearhead for everything we do here at Argus Leader Media pertaining to breaking news. It's grown from having one guy in a Twitter feed to sort of all hands on deck, especially when you look at an event like the storm this week. Grown in popularity. I'll stop talking now and maybe open up for a
yeah, I think John
question.
T. Meyer.
I can just keep going on. John and I are friends.
Yeah.
He knows that.
No, I have a question for you. It's really interesting when you reference it as a scanner because, you know, Jack Dorsey and the co-founders of Twitter, that was their original idea for Twitter was kind of like the CV radio. That's why you have a handle, just like truck drivers had a handle.
Right.
So explain to me how you think it is kind of a blend of that, a scanner, kind of a police report, new breaking news, and also journalism. I mean, how do you guys treat journalism with only 140 characters?
Yeah, that's a great lead-in too, and allow me a little bit of a clarification. You know, what we initially set out, we did not want to do, and we don't want to do is necessarily quote unquote report off the scanner, because a lot of things, as we know, in this realm, you know, developing, you may hear something on the scanner, and then later it turns out to be nothing, or things escalate, or you know, yada. So you have to take what we're learning from the fire department and police department and use our skills as journalists to then make the phone calls, ask the questions, get in the car and get out there with photo and video and start documenting, start reporting on what's going on so that we can add that layer of expertise, that layer of sophistication or authority to what may start off as just something you hear or on a scanner or anymore, you know, with the popularity of Argus 911 growing throughout the years, if we don't know about it first, we may find out about it on Argus 911 through Twitter from our followers. They'll tweet at Argus 911, accident at 26th and Koval or, you know, whatever. And we find out a lot about the news through social media now from our followers.
Corey, I see you're up over 20,000 tweets on that account, which is kind of almost a milestone-y kind of a thing. And can you, I guess, kind of a two-part question then, how would you say things have evolved for that account from tweet number, let's just say 100 to 1,000 to tweet number 20,000? And then how do you think your Twitter followers have evolved? You mentioned interaction there. They'll actually tweet, you know, to you and include you in their tweets. Is that a big difference from the early days, or is that something new?
You know, it's not something new, but it is something with, you know, whether it's the follower count or the interaction, those things are gradual and they grow over time. And when you're doing it day in and day out, like you said, there's 20,000 tweets now since we started doing that. And I think a while back, I actually broke it down. I was just interested, and I broke it down. I think it averaged out to somewhere in the 35 to 40 tweets a day range. Now, I can tell you, I know that initially, that first 6 months or whatever, we were not sending out 40 tweets a day. It seemed like a lot, but I think it's really ramped up now, again, because we've put more resources toward it and because of the fact that it has been something that's been very popular and we're getting a lot of interaction. And that's something that not only helps us cover the Sioux Falls area and the community, but also gives us news as well. So it really has ramped up. I don't know. I'm looking back, I don't think there was like a seminal moment where it went from, okay, like this is working to, or this is something, or to this is like a great thing. I can tell you it was that first month out, it was immediately popular when we put that website up. We got the significant traffic right away, and so we knew right from the beginning that we had hit on something and that it was worth doing.
Yeah, and what's weird is, not weird, but what's unusual is all the telltale signs, all the things, all the advice that you get from people about Twitter and Facebook and things is don't overload your fan base. Don't
right.
send too much stuff. You know, be very clear in just a few things because they'll shut you off. And
yep.
and your 911 is definitely that digital fire hose. It's a lot like following RSDPB Sports Twitter account during a basketball tournament. It's just tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet. So it does sort of go against the grain of what a what a corporate or a business user is supposed to do.
Oh, you're exactly right. And we have those discussions about our own, you know, my personal account or one of our reporters' feeds. whether we're covering live tweeting a city council meeting or something like that, or even the @ArgusLeader account on Twitter and on Facebook as well. You want to give people a good breadth of information. You know, we cover sports and news and education and entertainment, and so you want to give them a good breadth, but you don't want someone to be put off by filling up their Facebook feed or filling up their Twitter feed with just a constant barrage. That is never a point of discussion with Argus 911. For whatever reason, there's just a love and a want of that type of information. And, you know, the folks we have doing it, there's the opportunity from time to time to, even though it's public safety journalism, it's often, you know, this morning we had a fatal fire in town, and that was a large part of the Argus 911 coverage for the morning. But there are opportunities that pop up to have a little fun and to point out things like the oddity that sometimes comes with a crime or silliness. So it's a fun feed as well, even though we are mainly doing serious work with it.
Yeah, sure. And I agree. I think if you're following @Argus911 on Twitter, you know what you're expecting. You're expecting a little bit of a fire hose. It's just fast, rapid news breaking updates. So I'm curious, Corey, you kind of started the hashtag SnowDAC, and then last summer we did the, what was the summer SoDAC? Or?
SoDAC Summer.
SoDAC Summer, okay. So this is on Instagram, which then the Argus, some of them actually would aggregate all these photos and then even put some of them in print. Do you have any numbers on, I mean, there was just tons and tons of, yeah, photos of the trees, and even a Facebook page called Ice Storm 2013 has now gone over 3,000 likes.
You're right.
Any data on anything on that you guys have?
Well, you know, the SoDAC summer thing, because of it lasted a little bit longer, and I think, you know, everyone is in the summertime out and about and taking photos of barbecues, pool parties, you know, just birthdays, et cetera. That was very popular, and so we decided to spin it forward to SnowDAC, and that was not as popular, but still we got nearly 1,000 submissions, and we would run one every day in print. Well, when the spring equinox came and we had a couple, you know, Easter weekend was so great and whatnot, we finally had the discussion, well, it's probably time to stop running these snow photos in print. And so we stopped it, and we capped it off with a big full color page on Sunday with I think some 100 different photos from people submitted and saying thank you, and we ran the name of everyone that submitted a photo via Instagram or through email. So we stopped it. But then you get again the storm, and the feed has been kind of reactivated. Everyone's been out taking photos. So I don't have any numbers, I will tell you this Sunday in the Argus Leader, if I can get a plug in, I guess we are going to rerun some of the photos that people have submitted through the SnowDAC hashtag on Instagram in the Sunday paper, just because there's just been a lot of it, and that's all really anyone's talked about the last 3 days.
Hey, we do need to take just a quick break. Corey, can you stay with us? Do you have time?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll stick with you through the HBO Go stuff, too, if you want.
Oh, well, hey, the more the merrier, in my opinion. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more with Corey Myers from the Argus Leader and the digital manager of the Argus Leader. And we'll talk about maybe how folks can, if they haven't seen your Instagram feed or know where your Twitter, how to find your Twitter feed, maybe we'll let people know how to dip their big toe in it and get involved here. So let's John T. Meyer is just going nuts over there. What's Kent talking about? Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, we're going to talk about. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, more with Corey Myers. And welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio. Ken Osborne, host of the show, and we have our usual host of panelists today, Joel Brovelite, John T. Meyer, Amos Asaf, Jeff Litterick, and joining the guys is Corey Myers from the Argus Leader.
Hello.
Thanks for sticking with us, Corey. I think there's a lot more to talk about on the show today, and we appreciate that. First of all, Joel, let's back up the bus a little bit.
Hey, Corey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to mention to folks that are listening that may not use Twitter, this I feel is one reason that Twitter can be useful for people. Do you want to explain? First, I'll explain. If you don't have Twitter, it's real easy to set up on basically anything you have. You can use it on a computer. You can use it on a smartphone, any phone that has internet access.
Well, and what makes Twitter so cool is actually you can do it via text messaging too.
Yeah,
and you don't even need a smartphone.
Right. Well, it still has to be able to text. Yes, I forgot about that. So you can use it on any device, and sign up is free. You just go to twitter.com on your device and sign up. And then once they do that, Corey, how would they find the Argus Leader's Twitter feed?
Sure. There's a couple easy ways, and I think you're exactly right. I have this conversation with people all the time who might not be familiar with Twitter and might not feel comfortable with, well, what do I have to say, or you know, might not want to actually don't think they would use Twitter. It's a great way to just follow news and know what's going on, whether that's if you want to follow CNN or the New York Times and just follow that and kind of get their feed and the Argus Leader. It's great for just following news. But the way you would do that is once you have your Twitter account, you can just search for Argus Leader, all one word, or Argus 911, again, all one word, no spaces, and you'll find it, you follow us, and those will start coming in through your Twitter feed. Now, since I'm in charge of the digital report here at the Argus, I go one step further, and I turn on the text message alerts for Argus Leaders so that I get a ping every single time we send a tweet, which I honestly, it's great for me, but I wouldn't recommend
for
anybody.
I'm sure your wife likes that, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend for anybody else because it is fairly constant. But yeah, it's really easy, and it's again, it's not only fun, but it's super informative, and I think once you get into like kind of how Twitter works and how to read it and whatnot, I think a lot of people really are drawn to the service.
Yeah, so basically, if they want to follow the Argus Leader, they just they can go to Twitter and they can search Argus Leader, and I know it comes up right away, or they can just use the Twitter handle Argus Leader 911, and they can put that in.
It's actually just Argus 911 on that second one. And if you go to argus911.com, we put the Twitter feed right there at the top right hand side of the website too, so you can see it there. You can click there and follow from there as well. So we try and make it as easy as possible for people to find these things off our website.
Sure, perfect. Well, I think that would be definitely valuable for people to do, and so check it out on the Argus website, John.
Oh yeah, you were going to mention the Facebook, the snow.
Oh no, I was just saying we were talking during the break about some of the crazy photos on the Ice Storm 2013 Facebook page, which I stand corrected is now over 4,000 likes. So it's just I think in general the greater conversation is it's really incredible now that these secondary communication layers we have during big events like a storm where we can communicate via whether Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever it might be, and really see. You could almost see it coming. Like you saw those pictures of the snow and the Black Hills, and then it was in Pier, and then it just kept coming, and it was I just think it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's well, that's kind of what the show is about today, is kind of how things are evolving, and that's certainly you're not waiting for the 10 o'clock news or the paper to come out in the morning or whatever. The people want it now, I guess. And is that what's driving all this?
Yeah, and I think all news outlets, whether it be print or TV or radio, are adapting that way. I think you've seen the TV stations having to change the way they do news. We're not just waiting for the 10 o'clock news. So they have to do instant things. Like the Argus is a print piece, so they have, they only release a paper every day, but they have to do things throughout the day. And that's what Corey's talking about.
Well, and we're talking about all of this alternative media that we're seeing specifically on this storm. Did we see this hit the traditional media on a national level at all? I guess I didn't see anything on any of the news outlets I checked. Did anybody else?
As far as what happened locally for us?
Right.
There was a bit, in like Minnesota, but I didn't see anything nationally other than a mention that we had really big storms.
Yeah.
I know our own.
I didn't see anything either. The one thing I did see that the turkey vulture falling from the sky story, I saw that on MSN.com a little bit, but I didn't see, I was surprised too because this storm moved on into Minneapolis and I just didn't see any real mention of it. I think the gun control debate and North Korea gobbled up the national media's attention on this.
I can say when we lost power on Wednesday for a little bit at the office and we had to email a client and say, we can't do the call right now. would have an ice storm in April, and I think they're in Southern California. That was a little, probably a little bit of a shocker for them. So,
yeah,
I think that's to tell them we're having, you know, school canceled for 3 days in a row in South Dakota in April, people kind of scratch their heads.
Absolutely. A reminder to listeners, if you like a list of the links that we're talking about on today's show, we post those to the web immediately. And in fact, John, you've posted the ice photos to
just
our
just the link
Facebook
on our
page.
Facebook page. Yeah,
yeah, facebook.com/techradio. And again, for Corey, argusleader.com probably has all the links that we're talking about today, does it not?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, if I can jump in here real quick, something that John and you were talking about earlier about, you know, the people's sort of want of information now. I think something we saw, or at least I saw with this storm the past 3 days, is a real good example of social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, its ability to really make you feel this sense of community. I mean, when I was scrolling through my Facebook feed and seeing just photo after photo of people talking about their trees, for instance, and the tree limbs breaking and this sadness, I guess, is the best way to put it, for the damage that was being done to our neighborhoods and to our homes and that sort of thing. And you can see people that don't know each other, but they're all through my feed there, you know, like all having sort of the same feeling. You kind of get this, zeitgeist of what's going on in the community. And social media is really good at that. And I think that's also a very powerful draw for why these services are so popular.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
And and hopefully maybe some healing will happen. And I driving into Sioux Falls, just like I said, just the little bit that I did, it just seemed like it was kind of an arborist's nightmare. Just coming into town and just saying, this has just got to be crazy. The landscape is definitely going to change for a while.
Yeah, I don't think we'll really notice the full.
You know, one
effects.
Thing I'll mention about, you know, the storm and how it knocked a lot of things out. I was really lucky. I had internet service and television basically the whole time with just a few little blips. However, there was a period where, and I use Dish Network, where a lot of the local channels I wasn't able to view, and that happened last night, where there was like 2 or 3 hours where I couldn't view the channels. And, of course, that was right when my wife had 4 programs that she absolutely wanted to record. And so she was bemoaning that to me last night. And I said, well, you know, we can catch them online. She's like, yeah, like a week later after the other episodes are already on. I said, yeah, you know, that's true. And that and that kind of brought up exactly what we were planning on talking about in that, you know, a lot of these television studios are not serving people, you know, in the way they want to, you know, consume media. And that's caused a lot of trouble with channels like HBO or studios like HBO, where they've had the most pirated television program, the infamy of the most pirated television program, which is
Game of Thrones
that just came out as soon as the first episode aired. It was the most pirated thing ever. Pretty amazing.
But John's got some statistics there.
Yeah, we ran that at the beginning. A piracy tracker, Torrent Freak, said more than 1 million viewers downloaded the episode season, this would be season 3 debut on April 2nd. And at one point, more than 163,000 people were simultaneously sharing one single torrent, which is also a new record. So wow.
Yeah, do we have any, I wonder what that updated figure is now. That we've
this
we've
article, ways, yeah, this was from April 2nd, so that's, you know, 10
more.
Days ago.
It's I'm sure a it's lot
more.
More.
Interesting. Any guesses of what the record would be before, the TV show before?
You mean it's what it is or how much?
The show. What show do you think was prior to Game of Thrones? I don't think you'll get it.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. I don't know.
Nope.
Top Gear.
Top Gear.
It's a good guess.
The season 3 debut of Heroes, 2008.
Oh, holy cow.
That's surprising.
That was a
that's
long
5
time
years ago.
Ago,
yeah.
So, wow.
I genuflect on that for a moment, but but the show must go on, and maybe someday the people pirate this show or something. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, but anyway, what we're talking about and how is what we've seen from HBO reflecting what's going on with the BitTorrents and with the illegal downloads and things?
Well, currently, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, but currently HBO Go, if you pay for HBO through your cable.
Like yeah, whoever, whether it's Dish or whatever satellite.
You then also get the online subscription for free, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
To HBO Go, which is essentially their Netflix or their Hulu, but just HBO original content.
And it's if you've not used it, it's a well done program.
Yeah,
it works exactly the way you want it to.
Mobile app, right?
You want to see something from episode or from season one of this program, you can view it.
And immediately or
yeah, immediately. As soon as it's on, as soon like the minute after it airs, you're able to watch.
Cool.
You know the show. Which is definitely how people want to do it. And recently, I don't have the exact quote on this, but the head of HBO said that they're considering offering HBO Go as a pay only service, so you may not have to have.
Yeah, that's the story we pulled up. We were talking about they, based on just the way people are consuming content, like we said, a lot of people are getting away from their cable and aren't even paying for that, but they still want that HBO programming, and so HBO doesn't want to lose them to all those hundreds of thousands of people downloading it illegally.
And piracy, because that's how, you know, I think when faced with the option of, you know, if you want to see this program because all your friends are or because you just want to see it, if you don't have a good way to see it in the time you want to see it, you will figure out a way. I mean, we're not in the situation where, you know, oh, well, it's not legal. I guess I'm just going to have to wait and not do it. People, when faced with it, will pay for the media content. It just has to be in a way that they'll do it. I think that's been proven over and over again. Another bit of news. I don't know if you've talked about this. There was just a story on NPR this morning about the company Aereo, which basically is a business that has a bunch of little antennas in a building, and then they stream. If you sign up for their service, they stream broadcast television to whatever device you have. So it's completely legal from the standpoint of you can pick up broadcast, you know, Fox and CW and whatever, and it will stream to your device. You pay them to do that, but it's no different than if you had an antenna or rabbit ears in your house and you had it plugged into your television, except for the fact that it's a really clean signal and it's run to whatever device you want. So that is essentially they're getting a free product. And then they're charging people to have this streamed to their device. And you can sign up for it right now. And there was a huge court battle in New York about it. And Aereo won. And since then, Fox Network has threatened to cancel their over-the-air service to kind of fight against, you know, products like this that are coming out.
That's interesting, and I'm assuming they're not doing it. They're not messing with the signal at all. It's carrying it with the commercials and in real time.
Exactly. And, well, with a few second delay.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, yeah, virtually real time. Yeah.
And one of the interesting parts
they don't limit IP. So no matter where you're at, if
exactly.
you're in Secaucus or in Rapid City, you get the over the air from New York, and I think maybe that's the.
It's not in New York. It's every. You can only sign up in places they have, you know, basically antennas. Because if you sign up for the service, you have your own little antenna. You basically, every person that signs up has their own little antenna. I'm not sure exactly how it physically works, but that's how they got awarded in the lawsuit. Because they're basically like, yeah, okay, well, it is literally no different than if you have your own and it's only in the market I think that you're in.
So I'll throw out the question: who does everyone here have pay for cable, or does people just use online?
Yeah, I have I have the digital cable package with the DVR and the whole schmeal. With the I do the bundle with the cable and the
sure.
and the thing and the thing and the yeah.
Do you have a landline phone?
No.
Okay. Good.
We got rid of that many years ago.
So I do the bundle as well. Okay. And where I live, the internet service is considered a add-on feature, just like call waiting or caller ID is. And so in order to get the internet, you have to have phone service, although I don't have a physical phone anywhere at my house.
Sure.
So I'm paying that, you know, $30 a month for that service that I have to have in order to get internet.
Yeah. I'm slowly going. Go ahead. Yeah, Corey.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, my wife Megan and I, we're equal opportunity media consumers. I think we've got just about every service that's available. The digital cable, the DVR, HBO, Showtime, Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV, yada, yada, yada. Daily
so you have everything. You're like the buffet of media. They love you. They don't care that you use all those other services as long as you're still paying for
Corey's kind of a connoisseur
of cable. Yeah.
That's right. You know, went back to that HBO Go. I think that would be brilliant for them to offer that service without a cable subscription, though, because while it is free if you subscribe to HBO via cable, your cable provider has to opt in. And that's why we didn't have here in Sioux Falls, we didn't have HBO Go for a while until Midco opted in. And I'm glad they did because it is an awesome service. It works perfectly. But I think that that would be a good move for them.
Jeff Litterick and Pierre, are you a cable subscriber or have you cut the cord?
I'm still a cable subscriber, but most of them I watch, well, recently because I was stuck at home for a couple of days. Because of snow, thank God we didn't have the ice, but really, I get most of my stuff off the internet. I really, and even when I'm watching TV, I'm actually watching stuff on my iPad or reading stuff on my iPad off the internet. So most of my stuff anymore comes from Hulu, Netflix, stuff like that.
So multiple services at the same time. I think he's got you.
Yeah, and that's what we should talk about next.
Go ahead.
Just to finish up the thing, I have Dish Network now. We're slowly weaning ourselves off of that. I just know that the boat is tipping, and the boat is tipping because of things like Netflix basically producing what essentially is hit TV shows. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that we can talk about. We got to do a break here, though, huh?
Well, yeah, but we can finish the thought. But
okay, yeah.
Well, I'll just say. Paige and I have cable, but I think the only thing left that's keeping me on cable is live sports,
yep.
Like the Minnesota Twins. I'm a huge Twins fan.
Uh-huh.
Because like that stuff I don't want to DVR because I know it's going to get ruined for me. Like even if I try to go cold and go away from technology, someone's going to be like, did you see that game? Did you see that score? And that's about it. But so once they can figure out how to do that.
You know, the one add-on that we do to our digital tier is the sports package. With the NFL and the what's the service that's got all the games on all at once? It's like the fire hose of NFL feeds, Red Zone.
Oh yeah,
you know,
jump to
and that's just I mean that's the toe hold for me.
Well, that's the toe hold for everyone actually. If it wasn't for sports, the bottom would have dropped out long ago.
And it's getting there. We talked about the March Madness app. We talked, you know, ESPN 360, but. It's just it's not there yet.
Well, let's take a quick break, and let's continue this discussion in just a minute. We do have to take a quick time out when we're back. More from Corey Myers at the Argus Leader Media and in the panelists. If you have questions or comments, midday@sdpb.org is where you can send those, or drop by the Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. And we're back to the third half of the show. Welcome back to Tech Radio. On South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
My favorite period. We're like a hockey.
Reminder to listeners, if you'd like a list of the links that we're going to talk about on today's show, we post those almost immediately to the Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. Please interact with us there if you care to. Again, this is your chance to call for help on SDPB Radio. 1-800-524-3604 is the number to call. And our email address is midday@sdpb.org. All the usual guys are with us today. We have the addition of Corey Myers from Argus Leader. Thank you for sticking with us, Corey. And we have Michelle on the line from Custer. Hello, Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic. Do you have a question or a comment for us today?
I have a question on Wi-Fi. I'm using my neighbor's Wi-Fi. They're okay with that. but I'm wondering why it sometimes works better at night than during the day. Sometimes I can't even connect at all during the day, but if I wait till the evening, it'll work.
Okay.
Well, could be a couple of things. There could be you can't connect at all during the day. Is that right? And is that a recurring problem?
Pardon me?
It's a recurring problem. It happens all the time.
Not every day, but often. Yeah.
So when you say you can't connect, does it mean you can't connect to the wireless signal, or when you do connect, the internet, the websites don't come up?
I can't connect to the wireless signal. You know, I have a laptop, I'll turn the, push that button, and then it'll bring up a menu of different routers I can connect to, so then I click connect to that router that is my neighbor's, and it'll go through and just say identifying and trying to connect, and it'll just keep circling around. And, you know, sometimes it'll say unidentified network and never connect to it.
That's a difficult one without knowing how your neighbor has it configured. You know, unless it's moving, the connection there should always be available. But it's whether it's the amount of service that you're getting from that provider that could change, especially during the day when people are on.
There could be more devices using it,
right?
During the day.
Yeah, or it could just be off because the person's gone or something. You may want to ask them.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough one. It could be off. It could be that they've got other devices that are causing some interference, depending on at what level of the Wi-Fi it is. It could be interfered with wireless phones or microwaves, or they could just be messing with you. That was my first honest thought, was that maybe they've got it on a timer.
That's because that's what Amos would do.
That's what I would do, yeah.
Michelle, do you share the cost of the Internet, or you just have kind neighbors?
No, they're kind neighbors, and they're actually out of town, so they're not messing with me at all, and they're not using other devices either.
Yeah, so they can't move they can't move their router closer to you. That was my other thought was getting the two of you closer is going to probably help this immensely, and that if they're out of town, they can't make that happen.
What is the distance between you and your neighbor?
Oh, between where I'm at and the router is maybe no more than 50 feet.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not going to help. I was thinking maybe we're on a fringe.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to sort that out until you can actually, physically, access that device or talk to the people and find out what might be happening. I think that's pretty much the only solution there without more technical information.
I think you've stumped us, Michelle. We can't think of a reason why that shouldn't work, because there shouldn't be microwaves or anything in the path that are going to microwave ovens, like cooking a burrito or whatever, isn't going to be between you and that connection, which it could normally disrupt that. So you may have stumped us, Michelle.
You know, if you were at the outlying edge of what that router could possibly connect to you with, I would say that maybe there is some other interference that comes from maybe another neighbor or some other something in the air that might happen during the day. But at 50 feet, you should be able to connect.
Would it be the electrical lines?
They shouldn't be, because those are running all the time as well.
Yeah, I can't imagine that it would be, Michelle. And I thought we were going to get into the discussion of cantennas, and the more I can talk about Pringles cans and internet, the more I'm happy. But those kind of solutions aren't even going to help. So Michelle, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to bow out on this one and give it some more thought. And if we can think of it, we'll throw it on the Facebook page for you. But sorry about that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your show. Thank you.
You bet. We appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Again, a reminder to listeners, 800-524-3604 is the number. And midday@sdpb.org is the email address. Amos, let's get back to the media discussion here. And you were about to bring up a point about live sports.
Well,
when are we going to bridge that gap, I guess?
You know, I guess I would say it's not so much sports as it is live television that happens that you don't want a spoiler for, you don't want to find out the sports scores.
Reality,
but then sort of leads itself into, well, what happens when we have like the presidential stuff that's on? You know, if they cut into programming, are we going to have to find them a way in order to cut into your streaming media? How will that ever happen in 5 years, where that we've completely all moved to tablets and we're doing it on demand and we're not watching TV?
Or like weather alerts.
How do you do that?
Well, don't you think it'll be as simple as just a crawl or a pop-up that says, hey, president's talking now. Do you want to see that now, or do you want to keep watching old episodes of The Animaniacs? Don't you?
Well, that's an easy one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sure.
Yeah.
So
I would never have guessed that was going to be your example.
So I think that will kind of take care of itself in that case. However, the real question is, how are the companies that are streaming these live events going to do that and make any money doing it?
And whose responsibility is it? Because right now, the television stations all rush to the president and say, we'll put it on the air for you.
Yeah, because they know people will watch during that time.
Right. And so now who's going to be the operator of the equipment it takes
well,
to put
still
that on
I still think if the eyeballs are there, people are going to tune in to however that works. They just need to figure out a way to monetize that.
Well, and if the eyeballs are there, they'll figure out a way to monetize because that's
a good point. That's a very good point. So we've decided that we'll all take care of itself. We're just ready for it now.
And well, I think there's going to be a lot of lawyers involved and a lot of court
cases. For
years,
we've always wanted a la carte, right? Like, we pay for these big cable packages, these bundles, and we're like, I don't watch half these channels.
Yeah, and no other aspect of your life do you go, well, you know, I think I'm going to pay for $80,000 of this car, but I'm only going to use, like, 10,000 of it. No, that's just never the case. I'm going to buy $100 worth of groceries and eat 15.
Yeah.
Although I suppose that does happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Or buy the entire
it's the
produce
only,
section. And only
it's the it. Only part of our life where that is the case. It's kind of the last bastion of that, frankly.
But aren't we making progress on that? Haven't I seen news from some of the big, maybe even the Comcast and things, that we're moving towards the a la carte? Or is that completely dead in the water, you think?
Well, what happened when we went to, you know, Dish or these huge cable packages, you know, our grandparents had, what, 3, 4, 5 channels. Now we have, you know, there's not just a hunting channel. There's a hunting channel for only deer. And then there's a hunting channel for pheasant. And then, there, you know, so there's all these niche types of programming where it's just like the long tail of, you know, iTunes. Like with music, you could only have the top hits because when you walked into a store, you only had so much shelf space, and that's what people would pay for. But when iTunes came along, now you have an endless amount. So even if one album, people only buy it one time, iTunes can host that.
The problem with that a la carte model, though, is with the hunting deer channel, the scope of the people who are interested in that, don't get me wrong, there are people,
sure,
but it's going to be so limited that the cost to produce that per person, you're going to have to pay exorbitant amounts of money in order to get that. Whereas maybe the Comedy Central channel, which maybe appeals to a broader number of people, you know, will be lower. So are people willing to pay $5 for one channel and $100 for another channel?
Well, I do think that people will, though, because, you know, you think about the great analog to that is a magazine subscription. You know, forever you've been able to buy, you know, a photography magazine or a sculpture magazine that might be – the cover price might be $7.95 and a yearly subscription might be $56. But if you want people every week, you can pay like $10 for it. People already do that with that. I can't imagine a channel, if it's something they want, that they won't do that. However, I think it will be more akin to I maybe don't want to watch the deer channel the entire time, deer hunting channel, but I may want to watch this one show. So I will watch 14 episodes all at one time of this one show, and I will buy it for $10 or a dollar an episode or whatever it is.
Which is a good segue. We were talking earlier about Netflix and all the press that they got when they launched the show House of Cards, which came out in late January, a political kind of drama starring Kevin Spacey. And so what they did, which was kind of it'll, I think, be remembered as a big moment in TV or media consumption, is they released all 13 episodes at once. And now this term of kind of binge watching has been born. So basically people go back and watch Animaniacs or season one of Lost or whatever it might be, and they spend a weekend or a snow day and just, you know, knock through it one by one.
You see that, you know, on some of the cable channels running an entire afternoon of what's the duck show, Duck Commander?
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty. You know, you'll see people just, you know, their Saturday's gone because Duck Dynasty's on the entire day. So
anyone else? I know
enough,
Corey probably. I watched House of Cards in bulk pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, it's on our list. Have not gone to it yet though. But yeah, I love the idea.
About it. So in the first,
no spoilers.
We're just a couple of minutes away from the closing music here. But Corey, I want to bring the discussion back a little bit more local. From we were talking about networks and live things. And on a local level, the Argus Leader does things live on the internet, like the police briefings and the 100 Eyes on Journalism and other things. Are you seeing a good response to that? And how do you bring that really local? Is that effective and working?
Yeah, it's been outstanding. It's, you know, live programming is something that I only see us doing more of as we think of more shows to do, different things. You know, you mentioned the police briefing and getting back to Argus 911. You know, we go live whenever we can. We do the police briefing every day. We go live from fires, accident scenes. You know, a couple weeks ago when we had that attempted river rescue down at Falls Park, we were live from there multiple times, and you can see the spikes. We also do lots of high school sports and sports shows and politics shows. And while if you look at like one midweek Wednesday show on something might not get huge traffic, when you put it all together and you start building that expectation with the readers or the viewers that mm-hmm. if the Argus does live programming, that's really where we're going.
Well,
I'm hearing music now. Are you playing me off?
Somebody did, but hey, thank you so much for your insight today, Corey.
You bet.
We really appreciate that. Of course, Joel, Amos, John, Jeff, thanks for being with us today. And please join us again in 2 weeks. That is all the time we have for today's show. Stay tuned to SDPB. NPR News is next, followed by Talk of the Nation, Science Friday.